And that's when we also give our missions contribution. Amen? So missions, we give money about, we do percentages. And so we say 40,000, but if we do percentages, the more we give, the more we can give to Zambia as well as Haiti as we try to help both congregations. Does that make sense? So it's vital that we begin to turn in the money or do what we need to do. And I'll be talking about giving ourselves to God and other things this month so that we can just get that down and keep going on and giving of ourselves. Amen? Great. The grace of giving. It's amazing that you give. I mean, think about it. God can give us everything. He can make money out of our hair. Just think about it. If you have hair, he can. If you're like me, too bad. But God then turns around and says, I want to walk with you so that you can share in the grace of giving. Amen. And that's a different space to understand that. So that you move away, we almost think we're doing God a favor. No, he's doing us a favor by allowing us to get involved in the grace of giving. Does that make sense? And giving to God is a very interesting ballgame. It exposes your heart, what holds you together, and all that stuff can play. But overall, you begin to trust God as you walk with that. So let's get into this and talk about it a little bit. Direction. Why is giving yourself first to the Lord important? Before we read that, that's a question. Why is it important that we give ourselves to God first? That's the question. Yes?
If you give yourself to God first, then he will supply everything you need in order to give.
Exactly. That's true. Anybody else? Yes?
It's biblical to give first fruits.
Biblical to give first fruits. Okay. Give yourself first to God. Anybody else? Yes.
It helps us have the right motivation.
Right?
Right motivation.
Motivation, yes. Yes. Grab.
I was going to say that it's just targets you. You know, if you're going to give, you want to give the Lord your first.
It's a hard issue. There's another hand there.
Well, if God has your heart, he has your wallet.
If God has your heart, he has your wallet. Yes, Alan?
God wants a partnership. He wants us to love what he loves and us to have him. Yeah, us to want the mission to succeed the same that he does.
It's a partnership. Ron?
Whatever we give our heart to first is what we give the best and our best efforts.
Whatever we give our hearts is where we give our best efforts. And truly, church, we need to start thinking about where our hearts are and where we're giving our best efforts. It says here, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trial, they were overflowing joy and their extreme poverty walled up in rich generosity. Paul had been there collecting money to help the Jerusalem church, and he went through there. They weren't wealthy people, but they were giving out of just extreme generosity, and God was walking with them. So clearly, you have to understand that giving has nothing to do with what you have. It has to do with the condition of your heart. Okay, you went quiet on me on that one. I mean, we got to talk about that for a moment. Giving has nothing to do with what you have. It has to do with your heart. Out of this poverty, they gave. You know, I remember very early on going in the rural Kenya and seeing how people tithe. It was interesting. My dad would go there, and we came from the city, and I thought, well, people give money. No, they came with maize cob, one maize cob. Oh, what do you call that? Maize cob? Corn. One corn. They came with one corn and gave it away. Some came with chicken and gave that as their tithe. I'm like, what's going on here? That is what they could give. Now, fast forward, we're 2018. Nobody's going to bring you corn and chicken. My point, though, is these were very poor people, but they were trying very hard to be giving. Does that make sense? To be giving. Out of the poverty, they gave. Welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. That can only happen because you gave yourself first to God. I think you can give beyond your ability if you haven't given yourself to God. As you said, if God has your heart, you're going to get his... he has your wallet as well. Then he says here, and they exceeded... they urgently appeal with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the Lord's people. They were urgent. They wanted to do that. And I know that we've been talking about, we give ourselves about 3 months of giving these missions, but sometimes we wait all the way to the very end. That's when we start writing checks. I think we got to be much more urgent about it. Does that make sense? If we have it, let's do it. It just helps to be urgent and make it happen. That's when you can go over and above. And not wait and say, oh, wait, it's coming to 22nd. That's when we have to do it. We've got to be urgent about it and do it. And then it says, and they exceeded, verse 5, and they exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. If you don't give yourself first to God, it is hard to work with missions or any tithe for that matter. So you have to give yourself first to God. And that becomes a question. How is your heart when it comes giving yourself to God? How is that going? Are you urgent? Is it something you fight for to give yourself to God? So that's where we got to go. When we hold back on giving ourselves to God, it's hard to do God's will. It's very hard because we haven't given ourselves to God first. When we give ourselves to God first, this is easy. Does that make sense? This is easy. I can give you many stories of poor people I saw that fed the Macedonian churches that just made it happen. Early days of ministry, we gave quite a lot. And I remember that there was a time we were giving missions. I didn't have a job, but I found ways of giving money. And it was not the amount, it was just I was involved. That was just what counted. And sometimes we can look at reasons as why we're not giving. I don't have a job or I don't get paid enough. Well, that is not the point. This grows your faith. This grows your faith in how you give. If you get stuck with stuff around you, God owns the money. He can open doors for you. But you have to start trusting that and walking away from how we give ourselves reasons to why we can't give ourselves 100%. Does that make sense? And that's challenging. It challenges your faith. It challenges where you sit spiritually, your space, and what you're trying to accomplish. That challenges you. Does that make sense? For me, I figured this out, and I said, I start early because I figured if I don't start early, I might not make the goals I'm trying to make. Does that make sense? And just go put it away little by little. And that way I build what I'm trying to make. So it's important that we think through that as we go forward. Secondly, excel in giving. If you're excelling, you're doing well. Who wants to give you an example of somebody that is excelling? It can be in a game or anything. An example of someone that is excelling in doing well, in something, in a sport, in a career. Anyone?
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, okay. Not well known here, but that's true. He's doing pretty well, yes. LeBron James. He's doing pretty well. Numbers are changing. Some of you don't like him. Some of you like him, amazingly. But he's doing well. He's getting there. He's moving on with his numbers. If you see his historical, he's joining quite great people in that arena of playing the game. So he's given himself to the game. For the age he has and what he's doing, you're like, wow, he's given himself 100%. Now I'm on his side for a while there.
Roger Federer.
There we go. Plays tennis for a while and is, for his age, he's doing something amazing in that field. Yes.
Jose Altuve for the Astros. Breaking all sorts of limitation right now. He's killing it.
Say it again.
Jose Altuve for the Astros.
Did you get that? Jose Altuve, yeah, for the Astros. He's doing a good job just killing it. Villanova. Blue Jacket? Who? Noel? Steve.
It was football?
No.
A brother does good, gets all A's. Given themselves, when everybody's saying math is difficult, another guy's just killing it. Chocolate Bowman? Okay. Cast of Black Panther. There we go. So, okay. If you look at all these people, they give themselves to a cause. They may be pain, but they excel. They may have different challenges, but they grow out of it. You see, if you think about it, it's saying, we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also the completion, this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see, Titus was the guy running with this idea of giving, and then he says, but since you have excelled in everything. And I think that that's something we may be overlooking as Christians, that we're not passionate about excelling in our lives, that we just settle. It's very possible that a Christian, you've stopped being passionate about excelling. Whether it's profession, whether it's school, whether it's home, whether it's your faith, whether it's your relationships, you're not excelling anymore. You settle for 50-50, whatever comes your way. These people are excelling in what? In faith. How's that going for you? Are you excelling in your faith? Is that something you're proud of? That I'm proud of my faith and how I live my Christian life. Are you excelling there? In speech. I mean, when you speak to people, do you leave them inspired, wanting to hear more, encouraged, loved, comforted, whatever, good terminology? Or do you leave them drained, poisoned, negative, just in disarray? What do? They excel in speech. They did an amazing job with that. In knowledge, get to know the Word of God. You got to know what's going on around you so that you don't just say anything. Know stuff, but use it for God. Amen? In complete earnestness and in love, we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in the grace of giving. And I know since we started the online giving, the giving went up a little bit. Am I right, Steve, Alan? I think it went up a little bit. That's all I know. But what you have to ask yourself is, how disciplined are you in that area? Have you set it up already? Is it something you stay on top? You know, it's very easy to find reasons why you don't give. It's very easy. And just not excel. It's very easy to give yourself reasons to not excel in life. It's very easy. Just like it's very easy why you give your reasons why you don't wake up early in the morning. It's very easy. There are many reasons you can give yourself. We've got to excel, people. But that takes a desire to hear from God and do that well. Take something. Take one thing that you want to excel in. When you do that, it permeates your life. Here's what I like to say. If you hold your heart back anywhere, it will begin to infect everything else you touch. So the best alternative is stay engaged 100% and it touches everything else you touch. You'll be energized. Why? Because your attitude is, I give myself first to God and I excel in what I do. I have had people say, I don't want to be good with this people because they're not good to me. You are the one cheating yourself out of a life. Because you're reacting. Come to God. Excel. and see what happens. Amen? Why is giving a test of sincerity? Let's talk about that. Why is it a test? Why is giving a test of sincerity? That's a question. Yes.
Because naturally we are selfish, and when you give something that you have, that's a true test to see your heart.
Yeah. Naturally we're selfish. So when you give of yourself, you begin to show a heart as very sincere and letting go. Naturally we try to protect ourselves all the time. Yes, Steve?
Well, we can talk a good game, but it's important to put our money where our mouth is.
We can talk a good game. Yeah, we're going to do it, but what's the action like? You're pointing somewhere. Who is that again, Alan?
Yeah, I think your giving is in secret. So it's only you and God who know it. And if you don't, if you're only doing things that other people know about, then you have to push them to secret.
So this is very interesting. It's secret, but we can just use that to not do a good job with it. My right should not know my left, so I'm not going to tell anyone. But do a pathetic job with it. It tests our sincerity. Yes, Tommy.
I also, too, think when we give, sometimes it shows you where you are. Because when you give, you can tell if you're giving with a sincere heart, or if you give and then you keep thinking about it, and you keep thinking about it, it means that you really maybe didn't want to give it. You just felt pressured or whatever. But it tells you where your heart really is.
Giving tells where your heart is. Why is Steve talking about giving today? Well, God has put it on my heart to start talking about this stuff lately. I say, we're going to talk about it. One of the accountants in the church once told me, if you want to know the church, look at their giving. If you give and you keep wondering, should I give? Why did I give that money? Or you feel like I'm losing money for giving to God. You have no idea. This is the only thing that says, test me in giving, and you'll see what happens. Now, many of us think of it in terms of the today's world of, test me in giving, and I'll get tenfold. It's not like that. It's not like that. I remember, and I think maybe I've told you these stories. I'll tell you this story. I gave like nobody's business. My car was 18 years old. I would take that car and go like 500 miles west and hit the bush and all kind of places. This car, I just got, you take care of it. And I remember going through and going past some cars that were pretty new and broken down. I started saying, how can I help you? Like, he looked at my car and said, yeah, I can, really. He didn't take me seriously, so I kept going. We went to the funeral. We came back. On my way back, I found a 4x4 dent. The tire was down, and my car was a Mazda 323, 18-year-old, pretty loud, but it could get somewhere. But what's my point? It never broke down. God took care of that stuff. I'm telling you, it was 18-year-old. By the time I sold it, it must have been like 20-something years old, but it was as reliable as anything came. On African roads, you hit potholes like nobody's business. I'm not talking about good road 85. Like, you hit it, bam! You're like, oh my goodness, is that thing still holding together? It didn't have a seatbelt. Didn't have a seatbelt. And I went around with it. God took care of me. Yeah. For me, that's a testimony of what God can do when you give of yourself. So many of us are so afraid because you think, what will go wrong? No, God will take care of you. It was not money that was given back to me. It was the fact that I hardly went to the garage with a 20-something-year-old car. And there were newer cars that were going to the garage every other day. I was saving people from the road. I'd come and tow you up. What? Without, yes, I would do that. My point? Trust God when you give. If you're looking for money, you're going the wrong direction. It's health. It's how just it makes things get on with it. It's amazing how generous people seem to always have. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. Generous people seem to always have. Yeah. What is that? It's God walking through them. So let us excel. Sincerity is tested. So let's read. Excuse me. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the honestness of others. It's not a command, but I want to test your sincerity, whether you're going to give, comparing with others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, left heaven and came and lived among us, walked this earth, and died on the cross. That's the King of kings becoming poor, dying on the worst places for anyone to die. He did that. He had everything, but he did that to give to us. That is the example. It was sincerity. He was not being false. There are many ways that could have been done, but God used as an example to show us how sincerity works. You see, if I'm giving to you to get something, that's not sincere. That's not sincere. See, if I'm tithing to see if God will give me tenfold, that's not sincerity. You got to do it for God. Does that make sense? And that's a hard thing. We live in a world that wants something for something. When you help people, they think, what can I do for you? Nothing. There's a time a young lady touched my car, and she was crying so much. And I said to her, what happened? Well, I was in a hurry. Can I give you money? I said, no, I don't need the money. Just be careful because I cannot replace you. I can replace the car. And that was the end of that. You could not believe in her eyes that I wasn't taking money from her. Well, I had a bit of a ding on the car, but I said, well, it was a big deal. I paid for it. Who knows? God will take care of me another day. You see, do it sincerely, not because you want to get something. So let's tithe. Let's do mission sincerely, not because we hope we can get something back. Does that make sense? So he says, and there is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you are the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. So it's not only good that we're giving, but we need to have a desire to do so. We help out with the mission work in Haiti, and then we're also helping in Zambia. And there are many needs. You can talk to the Rouse, or that both Rouses and Rouses, and they will give you that they've been in both countries, Zambia and Haiti, and they'll tell you what they've experienced. If you visit, and we hope that many of us can start taking some holiday, going that direction, and seeing what's going on there. You'll be inspired to do more. Does that make sense? They do their part, but we help them to advance the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So you become a part of a global fellowship, and we really reach out to them and help them out. So we've got to do this because it's on our heart, and we see God, what God wants to do with it. Now finish this work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. According to your means. We all have means. You agree or disagree? We all have means. Kickball is a means of raising money. Right? The dances that was done for the women was a means of raising money. Right? So there are many ways you can. Washing cars, garage sales. We can go on and on and on. You can walk on. There's just different things you can. You have to think out of the box and not put yourself in this place where you feel like, I can't give. It's a test of sincerity. In other words, you have to really want to be a part of it. Nobody's over you, what's going on, but you forget it. We've got to become very sincere about giving to missions and just to church overall. Does that make sense? Whether it's Bible talk, whether it's just life, serving the poor, whether it's studying the Bible with people, whether it's visiting the sick. All that stuff is all tied to this as well. Does that make sense? So why is willingness key in acceptable giving? And we'll see that. Why is it that it talks there, it says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Why is that important? Why is willingness important in the gift being acceptable? Yes, Tracy. It shows how much you love God. The willingness shows how much you love God. Anybody else?
I think when you're willing to do something, you're not being forced or commanded.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. You're not being forced to command. It comes straight from your heart. Yes, Alan?
God doesn't really want your money without your love.
God, there we go. You're not, God doesn't want your money without your love. We've got to love God, and then we give our money. What else? Yes, Blake?
That speaks to the fact that we're compelled by Christ.
We're compelled by Christ. So, this area of giving really reveals where we sit spiritually, because it says, according to your means. We all have means, and says, you have to be willing, though. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. The desire is not that, you know, sometimes you can sit around and says, well, I don't have that kind of money. No. God is saying, you have been blessed, you do what you can. Those that have less, they do what they can. And so we need to stop minimizing the cautious, the money we earn. Sometimes we can be very ungrateful with what we have. It is true, it's not enough, but you need to be grateful with what you have. That's when you can walk to a good place. If all you do is complain about what you don't have, that's not a healthy place to be. Because how will God give you anything extra? You're already unhappy, ungrateful. If you're not happy with 1,000, He can give you 10,000. Because you might just increase your ungratefulness tenfold. You know, the more money you have, the more needs you have. You know that, right? It's just that's the way it works. You know that. That if you have $100, you have needs for $100. If you have $1,000,000, you have needs for $1,000,000. People say, I don't understand how he played that game and had so much millions and now he's broke. Then needs went up. That's what happened. My point being, it's not about what you have. It's, are you willing? Are you willing? It's not the figures. Let's keep giving the figures. It might be $5, $2. Let's do that for missions. But let's be clear that you need to be willing. Does that make sense? So this is very important. We understand that our desire is not that others might be relieved, but while everyone needs to get involved. I mean, as students, think of ways of giving to God. Okay? As young, help our young children to learn to give to God. Show them different things they can do. They can do some work at home and give for missions, right? Find ways to help our children get to learn this very early. But we all can do this, and then it has to be willing. If you're not willing, then you're only doing it as an obligation. Yeah. And that's not good. It doesn't work well. You want to be joyful as you're doing it and just seeing what God does with that. Amen? Now you're willing. Excuse me. You have to be enthusiastic about it. Get some energy, some oomph with this business of giving to God. You know, when we talk about giving, people feel like, oh my goodness, what? We can just feel like it's a hard topic. No, it's a great place to be. It's better to give than to receive. Guys, this is something we got to really look at. How enthusiastic are you? Just even in life, how are you in that area? It says, you know, for Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. So when you're enthusiastic, you also start having initiatives taking place. You think, say, okay, we can do this, we can do that. When you're stuck, but you want to do something, you always find a way out. But when you're stuck and you don't want to do it, it becomes an excuse. Oh, I can't do it because. But when you're stuck and you really want to make it happen, you will make it happen. I mean, some of us will stay up late and watch a game because we love the guy that's playing, right? We're going to watch. World Cup is coming for soccer lovers. Different time. But people got to sit up and start watching stuff. There are people that sit up in Africa to watch basketball going on in America because they love the game and the time difference is 7 hours. So to watch it, they have to sit differently. When you're really enthusiastic about something, time is not a problem. You're going to make it happen. What's your story? What's your story of why you're not giving to missions and the things we're talking about? What's your story? You got to look at your enthusiasm. Something's gone there. And you know, when you're not enthusiastic, normally it's stuff that you're not dealing with. Normally it's stuff that is choking you. You know that the false souls in the scripture? That you one fell down and the bud came and took it very quickly. And the second one fell on the rocky places, but they did not get roots. I think we tend to come to the third place where it's growing, but we're getting choked. That's where we always struggle as Christians. We're growing, but it's getting choked. So we got to check what is choking your faith in this area. What is getting in the way? And so understand this, the illusion of, if I hold on this, I'll become rich, is not necessarily true. If you're wise and let God lead you, then you'll see how things work. Does that make sense? So be enthusiastic about it. Get initiatives. And we are sending, and then it says in 18, and we are sending along with him the brother who is praised all the churches for the service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. So we are also honoring God in this. Does that make sense? It's not just about us. We're honoring God in this. We need to show eagerness. And I say all this because I think that, yeah, we have until 22nd of April, but we can start really moving on. When you get online, do missions. There's a part that says gift. Well, if you're doing missions, make sure you're doing missions, not gift. Does that make sense? Indicate clearly that this is missions. If you go to gifts, we get confused. What does this mean? Where does it go? If you're doing missions, bring it to missions. Does that make sense? And then don't forget that we do other things. We do regular, we do the poor. Don't cut that out because I'm now doing missions. I'm cutting out everything else. It doesn't work like that. You plan and work with everything well. Amen? We are determined to be godly with God's money. I want to take a moment here and just let you know that the elders do an amazing job just being godly. They do an amazing job being godly and very shrewd and frugal in how they handle their money. Does that make sense? So they're determined to do a godly job with it. It says, we want to avoid any criticism from the way we administer the liberal gift. For we are taking pain to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often provided to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show this man the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. Helping out Zambia has been great. Now, helping out Haiti as well is going to be awesome as we help these both congregations. What you have to understand is that people are saved because there's someone doing full-time ministry there, helping out with women, and you go to different other needs that are met. But here's the deal. We have to do a good job, and we deliver that money well. We provide that well so that it can be run properly. So we're in a very good place where we talk about it in a very transparent way. It helps us to see what we're doing. Please join hands with God and make it great, and God's name be glorified. Amen? Amen. Let's not just aim for 100,000. We can go beyond that. Honestly, we all got serious and said, I'm going to be a part of what's going on. You're going to go. I mean, God is going to do amazing things with us. So we've got to go beyond that and get used to staying above it. And God's name is always glorified. Living in America is truly a first world and a leader of the world. And we have a lot of comfort. It is true we have first world problems. I understand that. But I've lived in third world countries, and third world countries have even levels. I mean, there are places you go to and you're like, oh my goodness, how do you guys make it here? But I want to share with you that brothers out there sacrifice a big deal. Jokes aside, a big deal. Going to church is a sacrifice because the transport it takes to get a church is a huge deal they have to take and make sure they get to the end of the month. You understand that? And sometimes they're taking with their family of six. And they're doing that. Not complaining. They're joyful. It rains, they show up. They don't feel like, oh, it's raining, I can't go. No, no, they show up. They wade in the water and come on in and have a great time of worship. Is it because they're better than us? No. Well, when you grow up in such a tough place, you learn to really give of yourself. So we can learn from them. Not that our life is easier. We have our own challenges. I understand that. There's first world problems as well. You understand that? But we can learn from them that if they can do so much with so little, we can do much more. Does that make sense? So it's important. So we are determined to do what is godly, but we've got to support them as it ends there, say, for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. They feel your love even though you don't get there. I hope many of us can travel to these countries and you can start now and go in 5 years. That's fine. Plan now. We'll get you there in 5 years. Plan, I'll get there in 2 years. We want to get you there. I'm always trying to get Coley to go to Africa, you know, all kind of stories. We tell him, you need to go over there and see the place. I mean, we've got to have a plan. Go over and see the brothers and sisters, and you will be motivated to do what God wants you to do. Amen? So in finishing, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do or hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It has to be about God. If you can give a million, amen, we'll love you, but it has to be about God. If you can give a quarter, we love you. Because you know in the Bible, the lady that gave only a coin, we love you with your quarter for missions. And God will bless you as well. The key is that you're giving according to your means. Does that make sense? So my point to us is let's get busy doing missions and everything else we do as a church, regular and all that stuff, and God's name will be glorified. Amen? We are free.